Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got an awesome guest tonight. We have Jay-Z Knight with the Rompa School. And I'm not even going to go into anything else. I'm going to go straight into the interview because I know there's going to be so much information coming through that I want to give it all the time we can. And without any further ado, Jay-Z, are you with us?
I'm with you, and I am happy to be on your program tonight. And greetings and salutations to everyone out there.
It's such an honor to have you on the show. It's like this is like hitting the big time for me. You know, but I know you're going to say it's all a mirror, but you know, it's pretty awesome. I've followed Rompa. Actually, I went to your school back in 86, I believe it was. And I don't think the school was even there.
James, you came in 86. You were in the icon era of Rompa. And when everyone was coming out of the closet, literally spiritual closet,
mm-hmm.
and had that whole decade to freely talk about reincarnation, freely talk about precognition, experiences that everybody in the world has had them. And it was the only decade that allowed people to come out, to talk about their experiences. It was the genre of that particular period. It was in the media, it was in movies, and it was a lovely, lovely time. But at the time that you came to see Rompa, he was basically teaching, and he was just doing questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
And the school was actually formed in 88 and came about in 89 in Yelm, Washington.
Yes, I don't know if you've heard about, I've talked about the experience I've had there. Did you ever see the movie Contact Has Begun?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, then you heard the story. But for those that haven't, I was actually, that was when a lot of the controversy was going around before I came to see Rompa. You know, I heard all kinds of rumors and everything, and I said, you know, I'll bet you know, she's doing some great work there, or people wouldn't be getting so upset about this. So I'm going to go see for myself. And I'm one of those people that, you know, I need to go see for myself. I don't listen to all the drama and all the rumors and everything else, which I strongly recommend everybody else should do. But, you know, I went there and I was going through some tough times in a relationship at the time. And I asked three questions while I was in meditation to Rompa. And I said, you know, if you're who you say you are, you can answer these. I'm sure you can hear these questions and you can answer these questions. And I was up meditating on a mound and I felt the wind come up in front of me right after I did that. So, but anyway, I went to the school and I was very humbled because I saw almost 500 people there. I don't know, it was a huge gathering. And, you know, Rompa comes out on stage, turns, points at me. It was in the Seven Levels of Man discourse and he answered my question.
Of course.
You know,
no, but James, that's who and what he is. I mean, he's the genuine article. And I would like to just commend you on desiring to have your own experience rather than the rumor mill. That's what makes individuals. And I will tell you that the greatest networking in the world is gossip and it's rumor. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why the Bush administration has been able to do all of the catastrophic, engage all the catastrophic policies it has because they have a spin going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that people usually don't think for themselves. They need to be led. And that's one of the difficulties in our civilization at the current time. So building oneself as an individual is to say, I can never accept what others say. I must experience it myself, that I arrive at my own earnest truth and my own opinion, because then it has substance. And so mm-hmm. that's a great lesson for everybody.
I know some other things that validate it for me. I was with the, there's a program called the TIC. It's the blend of East and West, Teachings of the Inner Christ, and the Tibetan Foundation as well before that experience. And we were going out of body and doing these Merkaba meditations and going to the inner earth in groups, and then writing down what we saw. And what I saw there, I could never get validated by anybody from my own experience. And then I saw this tape that you had. It was his dissertation on the inner earth. And when he started talking about all these things that I'd seen and validated that, that blew me away too, you know. So.
Of course, that's Ramtha, and is a great, great being, and he wouldn't be great without the controversial aspect to him, because all greatness has that. And one of the reasons that greatness arises to the surface is the ability to overcome adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you ever become a great leader, the only way you become, in my opinion, a great teacher and a great instructor is to think outside of the box and be able to lead people outside of the box and allow them to be revealed in their own understanding of that leadership. And that's who he is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy you have those validations. I'm thrilled. I'm honored.
Oh, there's quite a few others.
Oh, yes, there are.
Yeah,
hundreds of thousands of them.
Yeah, he saved my bacon a couple times. So.
Well, good. Look, we're having this wonderful future talk now.
Yeah. Yeah, one time I was, everything was messed up on me energetically. I was going through a huge transition. And I had another friend that was a remote viewer, and he was very clairvoyant. And I always felt like I was going through one of those deaths you go through when, you know, those transitionary things, and was pretty messed up energetically. Something was wrong, and I don't know exactly what it was. And he came to me, and I could see each one of my chakras were kind of out of whack, and they're spinning the opposite directions. And there, something really weird was going on. I wasn't assimilating it. And he came in, and the next thing you know, all my chakras had this beautiful green light over each one of them, and it balanced me right out and helped me to get through that transitionary period.
Well, everybody gets to have transition periods because that's what change is about.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we have the courage to go through transition, we never know what the future is, because we could have 100 more years, but if we continuously live in the past, we'll never know the future because we've never lived it.
Mm-hmm.
So transition's a wonderful thing. It's change, and it's about the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to catch up to the new frequencies. And sometimes that catch-up isn't always fun. But
Well, it is really relative. And, of course, all reality exists inside of us. And that reality's engine is our brain. And our brain, our neural net in our brain, which is the heartbeat of our personality, has taken all of our life to form. And we came in with it. We our soul set it into our body in utero, developed our brain in a program, just like the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You put different programs in your computer, and you're able to do a lot more. If you only have one program, you're really limited, so you always have to go out and buy a different program or download it. Our brain, our neural net, is exactly the same way. And when we develop our neural net until about 20 or a little after that, we have essentially created the concepts of our young life, experienced them chemically, which we call emotion, and then from that we get an understanding. The hook is that no one ever taught us that to experience these things emotionally is meaning chemically, and that the virtue of those experiences should yield us wisdom. And what wisdom's utility is to have us have adventures more, but to alter them, to change them, to expand them. Then we get brand new emotional experiences. So the problem is, no one ever taught anyone that. And what happens is that people then get an emotional personality set. And that emotional personality set is connected to our neural net, that when those two are combined, issues forth our personality. That's what we've known by, who we're known as, that you can say, well, this person thinks that way, or that person does this, or this person is that way. Those are now fixed in our brain and in our body. The problem with that is that they never change for the rest of your life. What happens is that instead of procuring wisdom, we were taught wrongly to follow our feelings. Well, when we follow our feelings, all feelings are our chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
When we follow them, we end up in relationships with people, places, things, times, and events that basically yield back to us the same emotion that we've had since we were 20 years old. So we can't do that. What we do is we have to say, all right, there has to be a lot more in my brain. There must be more to me. I have this huge brain I use less than a tenth of. It's like my computer. I have a rocket ship for a computer, but if I'm still using, you know, BMW technology, or I'm sorry, Volkswagen technology or Model T technology, we've never utilized the greatest aspect of our computer, and it's the same way with our brain. So what happens is that when we actually learn that if reality is in us, and if we already know what we are, and we are a ball of chemical emotions linked up to a persuasion of a personality that has defined us, what is the rest of our brain doing? Why can't we move to a new thought that would form the reality from the quantum field, allow us to experience that in life, give us brand new chemistry, brand new emotions, and from that we begin to expand and change. And we change for the rest of our life. Now we're progressive. Now we're using our computer. Now we're using life, because it's a gift, to absolutely reach the pinnacle of our probability. Everyone's a genius. Everybody's a genius. Just no one has ever been taught that they are. So when we change, it's a great thing. When we finally have had enough of our addiction to our emotions, that we're addicted to them, that they guide us, they lead us, they always give us the same yield, the same experience. It doesn't matter what players are involved. We're after the feeling. That's called an addiction. When we learn that and we understand where emotions go properly in the concept of reality itself, we will be free, we will belong to the future, we will be able to engage thoughts, know how to manifest them, understand that we can't feel the future because the future is yet to be experienced. And that happens on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Then we get brand new emotions. So the painful aspect of change is that no one has really told us why that happens and why it's painful and what is pain. And what is the outcome? What is the virtue on the other side of it? And if we know that, then change is no longer difficult. We master our emotions. We conquer ourselves in the aspect that we're not going to wake up and have the same feelings guide us day in and day out. And at the end of the day, our bodies wore out. We've gotten older, and sooner or later we're going to get to a state to where our body now is susceptible to diseases, because that's all about attitude. So change is a marvelous thing in the context that we understand why we need to change and the beauty of being able to do so brilliantly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've got the $66 question for you, or whatever.
Is it $66.50?
Yeah.
Cool.
We can add 50 cents to that. I hear this all the time. You know, people say that, okay, now the Earth has her program, her destiny, and she's moving forward with that. And then we have these 6 billion people out there with their program, you know, the collective consciousness going forward. And then we have our program, and you know, which one's going to manifest? If I'm creating my own reality and my own program, is it possible to step aside from the Earth program and the other 6 billion people where they're going in this, in their program, or am I locked into that?
It's a great question. There's 6.5 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
And the Earth is nature. And the Earth works beautifully in the plan of life, because nature evolves. Every species evolves wherever land changes, whatever the weather changes. Every species is involved with the interaction on a cellular, nuclear level of changing and adapting to the world around them. So nature works in a harmony of moving forward in a process that I love the word evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens with 6.5 billion people is the very sad aspect of 6.5 billion people is that 6.5 billion people have been controlled by politics and religion. And that what keeps personal interest, corporate interest, alive and well is war. And what happens to people is that they have not been taught to be individuals, that rather that people are sort of homogenized under their religion, that people are homogenized under their governments, and they're homogenized under the corporate structure. So what you really have is you have an invisible corral that several of them, that groups of people belong to, and they're supposed to stay within that corral, and they're all supposed to think the same way, and to do otherwise would make you unique and different. So every one of the people that's in the corral has the innate greatness that they're divine. They're divine because whatever they think manifests. The people who run the politics, the people who run the corporations, the people who essentially run the world collectively in humanity know this absolutely. That's the reason why there's spin, advertising, programming, and all an indoctrination of fear if you don't do it correctly. They all know that. If individuals become individuals, then they can't be owned. And so they begin to start to change a worldview in which people have enjoyed for centuries having it their way. So having said that, we go back to the individual in the corral. Every individual, everything that they think becomes reality. Now the problem is that they think the same thing all of their life. Their reality stays static. It's permanent. It has very small variations in it. The growth is nil. The opportunities are nil. They live in a very contained little box. So they are creating reality. Every single one of them, every single one of them is God within. Every one of them has the power and the ability to do marvelous things. Now, when all of that group agrees to live the same way, they've all created a reality in which they all accept, and yet their suffering, their depression goes to the heart of what they are. Why am I depressed? Why am I suffering? Because at the heart of us, we're creators. Mm-hmm. And if we're not allowed to create, if we're not allowed to expand, then we end up as desperate people, unhappy people, and self-destructive people. And that also manifests. Now, all of those groups have a destiny. And if you understand that in the larger context, then if you say, all these religious people believe this way, all these people believe that way, these people believe that way, all you have to do is look at their belief. Look at their belief. Because the belief means they have subdued their own power and accepted a belief that is conjecturous. They are going to manifest collectively the reality that they believe in. They're all going to get it. Everybody's going to get whatever it is they collectively believe in. True enlightenment is not like you wake up and a stone hits you on the head, although sometimes that works quite well, jars your brain. True enlightenment is a person who has learned the basics about one's own mystery. The person who knows that they're endowed with the ability for great thought, that they know that they're endowed with the ability of great creative ideas, that they know that. They know through odd things that happen, knowing when the phone's going to ring, having a dream that comes true. That's not happening to them. It's leaking from them. It's not something from another dimension that's happening to them. It's the dimension inside of them leaking out. And so the marvelous, miraculous incidents that goes on in every person's life is not happening to them. It's a reality leaking out of them that is manifesting. Enlightenment comes when we start to not look outside of ourselves in the context of religion, not look outside of ourselves in the context of ritual for the sake of religious indoctrination, not look out of ourselves for the spin but begin to look inside of ourselves and wonder about us, because we are the greatest mystery. Every human being knows the least about themselves. They know more about the mice under their cupboard than they know, and the lives of the mice than they know about their own self. But the day that they begin to wonder about themselves and begin the journey of beginning to listen to your thoughts and then paying attention to the synchronicity of what you think actually happens, you start putting those together, people start waking up. And the waking up is not a new age. No. It's not enlightenment in the context of new age persuasion, but rather it is enlightenment of one's personal coming forward. Then the path starts to what you need. What you need is knowledge. And what is that knowledge? What should that knowledge contain? That knowledge should contain the mystery of how your brain works, but not in complicated concepts, but in very simple ways. Understanding what consciousness is. What's the difference between consciousness, my brain, my thought, and what is mind? Are all those the same thing? They're not. Each one of them has separate duties that follow in line to produce a result of making something out of nothing. How does my body work? How does my DNA work? How does my DNA unfold to match an attitude that I'm thinking? What makes me sick? If I use less than 3% of my DNA, what is the rest of my DNA doing? The answer is it works in tandem with one's brain. One has a new thought one day that's brand new, never had it before. That brand new thought pondered upon actually causes our DNA molecule to open up, and it absolutely makes a copy called the RNA. The RNA makes a copy of a code that was all about the thinking. The code is passed to the cell, that the cell makes proteins according to the code. So we get physically prepared for new experiences. And then one would say, well, if that's true, what if I said every single day that I'm 30 years younger? What if I said every day that I've always been fabulously well? Even though your back hurts, even though you've got glandular problems, even though whatever it is, all of those degenerations are in the past. But what if we started saying that in spite of the condition? Our DNA would begin to repair, starting with every tiny cell in our body, to match the code in the brain of what we say that we are. That then begins on a marvelous journey to understand, beginning to understand this brilliant, brilliant mystery that is ourself. And then as we get into that journey, we start to put away the philosophies of mysticism only in the context that they're riddles. What we want is just a plain talk understanding. We start putting away, you know, the crystals. We start putting away all the things that took us outside of ourselves that we were hoping that would open something inside of ourselves. And we just begin to work on God's perfect temple, which is the human body. And God made manifest in every aspect of our life. And we start finding out. Once we find out we can get well, how do we create a day? Is a day the future? Do we change the future? Or does the future just become more of the past? When we learn that we've absolutely created a day, every day, and it starts to work, we now know for a truth, not conjecture, that we are divine beings. And if we are, oh my heck, 6.5 million billion other people are divine beings as well. So the journey towards self-enlightenment, it brings us then to the aspect of the world's in trouble, the people of the earth are in trouble, and do we go down with the ship, and whose ship do we go down with? And if I'm creating personal reality, will it rain on my 40 acres because that's in my reality, even though the drought is widespread? Yes, the answer is yes. And the reason that is the next part of our mystery is, where did we come from? You know, where does the something out of nothing come from? It comes from the quantum field. The quantum field is the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you think, so you are. Whatever you think comes from nothing. The field to where energy at point zero is collapsed into the first tiny bits of matter, that those tiny bits of matter start, can't even see them because they're tinier than the nucleus of the atom. We collapse the energy that already has a code in it. The code collapses into a particle. Particle collapses into atomic structures. Atomic structures collapse into gross matter. Gross matter forms itself within the context of the view in which we created our day from. And we learned that. Then we know that in the quantum world, what makes it so fabulous is that all time exists simultaneously. It's the continuum now. The past exists, the future exists, and all the beings for as far as you can see in space, wherever they are and beyond, they all work from the same providence, the quantum field, the kingdom of heaven. We create reality. It springs from the deep. It springs from nothing into life. In the quantum field, if all time exists simultaneously, then the whole concept in quantum physics of parallel universes, multiple realities, endless realities, built within a framework, absolutely comes into course. And what happens is that when we create our reality and we begin to build day by day our future ensures our future. If we don't create it, we fall as victims to the collective consciousness in all those corrals, to the collective where people are, because their creation will be what our day will be unless we make the day, and that's the divine structure within us. So whatever happens, everybody gets their dream. And you will say, well, there's only one world, but actually there isn't. There are multiple worlds because there's multiple times that we live in, and it's only when we step into the future that we step into the opportunity of endless possibilities and an endless world in which we belong. One of the reasons that we can't reach out and touch dimensions around us is because once upon a time, those dimensions were in our dimension. And those beings who inhabit those dimensions, it's not as mystical as you think, but more scientifically probable, is that those beings in those dimensions evolved into them. And what is a dimension? A different time. What is a different time? It's a time from the now, where we're living in the past, they're living in the future. We begin to do that. We begin to move into dimensions of time that are, we're not the first and we won't be the last. Everyone gets the reality to which they create. And this is what Ramtha has taught us from day one. And this is what's taught in school. This is what he teaches. And it works for every single person. It's much greater to fall in love with ourselves, to fall in love with the concept that we are, oh my heck, the greatest mystery. Why not begin investigating it? And this, like Ram would say, once you become enlightened, all you need is knowledge. Once you get knowledge, you'll know how to apply it. Then we begin to take tiny footsteps day by day by day into the future. And pretty soon, we're in that other dimension.
Mm-hmm. I know there's some people, it's happened with me quite a bit here at the ranch, when I go into deep meditation and I'll come out of meditation and I'll walk up to people and I walk right up to them and they're looking right at me, but they don't see me. And until I say something to them, and then they jump out of their shoes, and it scares the hell out of them. And we've had photographs. There's some photographs where I'm disappearing. I've seen that with Michal as well. He's been up here where, you know, he has photographs where he's actually disappearing. You can see through him.
Well, Michal was trained to do that at the school.
Yes, uh-huh.
We have photographs of 1,000 people on the field, and Ram has just taught us how to become invisible. And we go out, and there's a whole staff here that takes pictures of people, and they're on record on how, what they do to actually be invisible, and we have taken pictures of 1,000 people on the field, people in different processes of going invisible. But that invisibility simply means that you've left the time frame of the people who could see you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're visible in the time frame of those who are in that same frequency. Do you understand?
Yes, it's interesting because, I mean, I can see them clear as a bell. It's just like they're all standing there. But some of them, most of them, can't see me. But the people that have been here on the ranch for a while, they can.
Yes, well, you know, it's the analogy is stepping into dimensions. It's all about time. It's about going to the future. It's about that the future is created inside of ourself that then flows out of ourself and is vibrating, that whatever we think is vibrating at a rate to which reality can comfortably, at the same vibration, manifest itself. And the analogy would be closest to going up a staircase.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the bottom step, you can kind of look up and see what may be on the top landing, but you don't have the same view because you're looking up. But if you walk up a few of the stairs, you can see much further and much broader. Your view is greater. If you go all the way to the top, you see 360 degrees,
mm-hmm.
whereas the people at the bottom don't have that view. Walking into the future is exactly the same analogy as going up staircases. But it all starts within you. You're the mystery. You're the beautiful being who has the power to finally say, I have lived my past one too many days. This is the day that I wake up and that I go for the mystery, that I learn everything I can learn about how I'm made, what is this great computer that I'm wearing. We are a ball of light, by the way, that wears our body. We are a ball of light inside of this brain, experienced through the body, through our central nervous system. This is a great computer that we're learning. Learn how to operate it. When we learn how to operate it, we only need programs, which is knowledge, to put in, to bring up those programs, to advance our study. And every single person in the world, wherever they are, has this ability. There's no one more special than anyone else. God is not more special than God. It's all great. We're all great. And that's
yeah.
the message the RAM has taught. He taught it in the 80s. And in the 80s, took on a whole new era of understanding our individualism from Eastern mysticism, coming out of religion, from the drug.
And this every time we've been maxing out the lines on this show, and this one with you're coming on is totally maxing it out even further than he's ever had it happen before. So,
but you know something, James, this is Rampa's message, and
many listeners, if you're not getting through or you're being dropped off the line, go to station 2 and you'll have a much clearer signal and you'll be able to stay with us, and we won't okay, if you can all go to station 2, I think station 1 is collapsed, so if you've lost the line, go to station 2. And we're on station 2 as well. So.
All right, all you listeners, we're on station 2. And guess what that means? We just went into another dimension.
Yeah.
So please come with us.
Yeah, we've gone beyond social consciousness. And we're in the next level.
But as I was saying, this is what James Rampa teaches. And he taught it in the 80s. He taught people. He sent them runners, just like with you. He did dynamic things. He's done that. He's done that. And then there are people who will do it with, and they'll just shut the door.
I just wanted to, can I break in here for a second? You might not have been clear enough, but to the audience, if you could, anybody who's listening to Station 1, could you just stop listening to Station 1 and maybe click over to Station 2 on your flash players? Because we are overloading Station 1. It's something that you might want to do right away. So start clicking on Station 2 if you're on Station 1, and make it a little easier for us. Okay. The overload is huge. Our servers have already went down. Ramtha, James, you go. Just go for it.
Okay.
It's not Ramtha, I'm Jay-Z. Ramtha's the being that's really started all of this great work. So at the school... At the school, when you come to school, it is a school. It's an academy of the mind. Mm-hmm. And you come and you learn all of this, and then Rumpf has taught us the disciplines in which we take the knowledge, and we put it right there. We put it right. We learn to see without eyes. We learn how to do remote view. I mean, the greatest remote viewers from the CIA has written the greatest letter for, I'm up for a great award, saying that the people who did the greatest work was at Ramtha School of Enlightenment on remote view. They outdid us at the CIA. That in fact, when he was working at the CIA, one of the required studies was to study Ramtha and all of his work, and they knew it was the truth. So, in the school, you learn to do that the first day. You learn to do sending and receiving. You learn to remote view the future. You learn to see without lies. You know what it is to manifest something in front of you. That's taking the knowledge of what I'm saying and putting it into an experience that the other side of the experience, you have truth. Because if you don't have the experience, you only have a philosophy. Sounds great, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't help you. You can read all the books, like Ram said, you can read all the books that were ever printed, all the sacred knowledge, but unless you experience it, it means nothing to you. It's not going to save you from getting older. It's not going to save you from disease. And it's certainly not going to make you happier. But experience and truth always does. Mm-hmm. So that's the school. The academy is to teach us how to begin to look at ourselves as a mystery, how to gain the information, how to experience it. Information, experience it, truth. And then you go home and you have the tools to take it into your life and begin to walk to the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you've applied a lot of this in your own life. And
oh, my goodness, dear. How could I not apply this in my life with Ramtha being in my life for 31 years? That we have a master teacher in your life. You are going to learn to do the work.
Oh, definitely. But I know you've had, just for the listeners, that are having serious health problems and challenges and things like that. You've overcome some pretty incredible things in your own life and walked the walk. What would you have to share with them on how do you walk through cancer? How do you walk right on out of this?
I will tell you, it's this simple, but it's so simple that you still have to be motivated and excited to do it. Every disease is a button in our DNA that we've pushed genetically. And we've pushed it from our attitudes. And our attitudes are a collection of our personality that involves our environment, involves people, places, things, times, and events. And what happens is that button gets pushed, and then we are in for a heck of a ride. The way that you turn all that around, if you can say, all right, that was an attitude that brought me to illness. If I move to a new part of my brain, now dig this, if I move to a new part of my brain where I've never been sick, that I have never had cancer, that for as long as I can remember I've always been well, if I move to that part of my brain, that its whole programming is radiant health, and if I just live through those neurons and fire those neurons every day, they have the history of always being well, and if I fire them, my DNA is a code that will print out a new code and begin to make new proteins, and that those proteins will absolutely, cancer can't live if you've changed your attitude, if you've got a new DNA code, it doesn't live. It can't survive in the environment. No disease can. And so what you do is you just, it's very simple. You say, okay, well, then how do I move to a new part of my brain? You start tonight. Go get a piece of paper, or if you're by your computers, get a piece of paper, get a pen out, and write this. This is what creating a new part of your brain and desiring to live there now. You're packing up, you're going to move to a different part of your brain where you've always been healthy. So this is what you have to do. You have to say these words in order for that neural net that you haven't tapped into, for it to fire. It's already downloaded historically. Its history is that you've always been well. You just haven't used it. So the first thing you write, you're going to create your night tonight. You're going to create your tomorrow. You're going to do this every day. You love how you feel. The first thing you write down, this day I have always been radiantly healthy. This day I have always been radiantly healthy. Now, for as long as I can remember. Now, why would I want you to say that? Because the neurons, your whole neural net involved with what you're saying is already in your brain. That is its history. So when you say, for as long as I can remember, I've always had radiant health, that fires that history. And it is that history. It doesn't have any other history. It just has that history. When you say these words, that's the mechanism in the brain that starts a chain reaction to excellent health. So what you do this day or this night, I have always been radiantly healthy for as long as I can remember. Now, what is important about saying that? You have to look and be present, like you are focusing into the heart of a candle. You're going to look at the flame. You focus. You write it down. You look at each word. Don't rush through the sentence. You might want to do that the first two times just so that you get the idea that you don't need to rush through it. You look at each word, I. Well, who is I? Well, it's the ball of light inside of your head. I have always been. Always been? Radiantly healthy. Radiantly healthy, always been. That's us. The brain lights up. You have to say each one of those words present, being absolutely present. You don't go unconscious, you be absolutely present with them. And you say that about three times. Now, I do mine walking. I get up at 4 a.m, I create my day, I walk down this little road that I have, and I get into it, and I say those words, and I am present with it. What happens? It's this incredible glitter, like gold glitter, starts happening in your body, and it runs up to your throat, and you can hardly breathe. That's what I call jazz. Now, that jazz is the frequency of that new program firing in your brain and going through your entire nervous system. That begins the road to health. Next thing I say, so number two on your list is, this day I have always been a genius. For as long as I can remember, I've always been a genius. And you do that, just like I said, each word, you say it, you pause on the word, you don't let your mind wander, you just tell it, shut up, you're going to sit right there, and you're going to look at those words, say them, like in a trance. I've always been a genius. Now, that part of your brain is a huge part of your brain when you say genius, because it's downloaded with the entire mind of God. And furthermore, it's downloaded from the future. Geniuses can see how to make a better mousetrap. Geniuses, even if you're sitting at your computer, even if you're carrying out the trash, even if you're at your desk at work, you don't have to go out and do something else to be a genius. It will happen right where you're at. So what are those neurons doing? There's a large neural net starts to fire when you say that. It's downloading the technology. It's downloading the information from the future. It's already there. When you say, I have always been a genius for as long as I can remember, and you say that with conviction and presence, what happens to you is that then, out of the blue, coincidentally, here come ideas in your head. They just start downloading. I mean, they make it to your frontal lobe, and wherever you're at, you know something. A problem is solved. You can make this better. You can see differently. You get information from the future. You have a new design. You have a better mousetrap. Whatever it is, it'll be relevant to you. That sentence covers so much of the wonder of life. It allows us to see through a lens that's not clouded, to see through a lens that's clear instead of the past. And it allows us a long sight. And that long sight is applicable all day long. Now, the third thing I say, this day, I have always been fabulously wealthy. Fabulously wealthy. For as long as I can remember, I've been fabulously wealthy. Now, the thing about wealth and that gets so contrived and misunderstood in the New Age and in religions, it was always meant that way because in a lot of religious thought, the greatest thing was to give all your material belongings away to the central figure, to the church, or to the ruling royal family, or to whoever it was. And so there was the concept was is that you can't be a materialist and love God and serve God. But I find that in an enlightened state most duplicitous, because if God created all, if all came from the nothing, then what is not God? That the things themselves are living, and that the things themselves came from God. There is nothing else other than that. Now you can call God the mother father principle, you can call it zero point energy, you can call it any name you want to. God's not insecure. You can call it anything. But whatever you are happy and feel good about calling it, just think of it in these terms, that what isn't that? And so when you understand that all is from the nothing, that all is creation, then we begin to retire this ridiculous concept that materialism, if you're a materialist, you're not spiritual. Because when people say that, you can't be spiritual and be a materialist, I look at them and laugh. Because it only shows to me a lack of understanding what spirit really is and all that it really is. If we go back to the original concept that we were really here to make known the unknown, we're not here to be nurses, bus drivers, spiritual leaders, whatever it is. That's only part of the journey. Our agenda is to be creators. That's why when people get depressed, they're in a box and they're not able to move. They're not able to dream. They're not able to think. They're not able to create, whatever it is. At the heart of us, that ball of light is to make known the unknown, to advance and to evolve, just like nature, to advance and to evolve life forms, ideas from thoughts in our brain to physical form. And so when we say that we've always been fabulously wealthy, we unshackle ourselves from the perdition of the past that made us feel guilty about the things that oftentimes it's out of necessity that we have them, that releases us from that sort of bondage and frees up our glorious mind to work wonders, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's the heart of us, like I said. And so when you say, I have always been fabulously wealthy for as long as I can remember. Now let's take that. What part of our brain, probably working with genius, has already downloaded the mind of God, the history of everybody that's ever done anything brilliant, everything we have downloaded in our head. When we say always, well, what sort of possibilities from the future? What sort of opportunities? They're endless that start to flow to us that creates that concept that's new and innovative. It's not so much about that somebody gives you the money and you win the lotto, although that can be a part of it, but that fabulous wealth is actually a result of utilizing the future in your brain and information in it, and that always brings wealth to you, because wealth is simply the reward, a sidestep reward from making known and unknown, that then is rewarded. And pretty soon it won't even be about the money, that your wealth is the genie inside of your head, the brilliance inside of your head that can do this. So you have a whole history of probable wealth inside of your head you haven't even turned on yet. So you begin turning it on as we've done, what, we've done three of these so far. This is what I do. And the fourth one that I say is, for as long as I can remember, I am 30 years younger. Now, I'm 61 years old. Ram's been in my life for 31 years. I am a grandmother, but I don't look 61 years old. The moment that we begin, now, you know, some of your listeners may be 20, and, you know, they may want to reconsider being 30 years younger. it's all relative, you know. But,
yeah.
But the whole point is, let's reverse the aging. Let's intentionally reverse the aging. And I say, in mine, this day I am 30 years younger. I've always been 30 years younger. I say that because, like those neurons, that neural net with that history of that age genetically turns on the DNA to recoup a 30 years ago youth and begin to remanufacture it, but not with the emotions, just simply the tangible flesh that I wear, and begins the process of doing that because I'm creating the reality. So then I take those four things that I say, and when I'm working on people that need help and I'm working on working with somebody who doesn't have the confidence to heal themselves, they're in that day too. And then I do that walk in each one of those things, and I love it so much that I can hardly wait for the day to start because I know it's going to be filled with wonder. Then I finish that walk. That walk lasts me about 20 minutes. In the present, I'm filled with glitter. I say I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with energy. Whatever I want to say, I could have had 2 hours sleep, I do it. And I come back, I sit down, I have a cup of coffee. And I don't drink tea. I have my coffee, and it's candy coffee, sugar and cream, please. And then I just sit, and I'm at peace, and here it all comes. Starts firing in my brain. I know who's calling. I know what's happening. I have new ideas, new opportunities. And there the day has just brought me a prize. So throughout the day, I don't just say this once. People are sick. You say that. If you have to get up and go to the bathroom, the time that you have to get up and go to the bathroom are wasted steps unless you put them to use, that the 5 steps to your bathroom could be, I've always had radiant health. I've always had radiant health. Open the door. I've always had radiant health. Lift up the top of the commode. I've always been fabulously wealthy. I do that all of the time. I never make wasted steps. I never make wasted steps. I understand creating reality. And people in school, they learn to do that. So I do my walk in the morning. I do it about 3 or 4 times a day. The last walk I do is about 10 o'clock at night, and I'm up at 4 in the morning, and I do the next one. Because, like the Ram said, don't let the day create you. That makes victims.
Mm-hmm.
You create the day. So that is my advice. In getting well, brilliant, healthy, fabulously wealthy, and younger, and we're going to the future.
And you know, some of these older gentlemen on the way to the bathroom should say, you know, I've always peed like a racehorse.
I am a racehorse.
They're always having problems, you know, it seems like as you get older.
No, but that's just because the body's aged and we wore it down from our emotional past that should have been left behind when we were 20.
Instead of
wearing the identity for the rest of our life and wearing out the telomere connections in our DNA that starts to corrupt the copy, that corrupts the proteins, that starts to age the cell, we should have left 20 at 20 and been every single day having a new adventure and a new life and not being afraid of the change and on the other side of it, the future. And when you do that, your body doesn't break down.
Yeah, it seems like the breakdown sometimes is about the only way people will actually realize that maybe I need to change my program.
Yes, and that's unfortunate, isn't it? The problem is that nobody in your society, in our society, except doctors and scientists, are really keen on this. Now, you think about this. Why do they have to give people a placebo in the test? Double-blind study, placebo. Because all people have to know it's a cure for cancer. It's a drug tested to cure cancer. The people who take the placebo usually have better results and no side effects than the ones actually taking the drug. So physicians, medical scientists, neurologists, quantum scientists all know what our capacities are. Just no one has gotten it out there for the simple person working their job, coming home, and doing their life. Nobody has really told them that. Quite the opposite. They've spun to prevent people from knowing that. So when we know it, we have a brand new start in life.
You know, I wanted to, you did a marvelous segue when you were saying that out of the blue come these healings.
Now listen to me. Yes, but who created that?
No, what I was going into is the levels. I wanted to talk about the levels and the vibrational continuum and the light spectrum and a lot of the blue body work that you're doing that actually brings these healings, you know, into this reality.
Yes. What would you like to know?
Just a little bit about, a lot of people are always calling on the light and they think the white light is it and that's what's coming to heal them. And
no, it isn't. Okay, it isn't. But if they believe it's strong enough, like the placebo, it may work for a while. But in fact, it's not. And dancing in the light and that is not knowledge. That is a little bit of knowledge with a lot of ceremony that helps people feel better about their spiritual life. There shouldn't be a difference between, there shouldn't even be a concept called a spiritual life and your life. It should just be your life. Because it's a divine light. Now, in regards to the visible light spectrum, there's 7 levels to visible light. You can go on your computer tonight. You can type in Google visible light spectrum, and you'll see that there's 7 levels to light, and that visible light, which we see the stream of photons, is the narrowest band, this marvelous mystery called light, and that in the 7 levels of light, they're all about frequency. You have Hertzian, which is the vibration we're on here, and it's the slowest frequency, and it's also the lowest frequency. And we have neurons in our brain that process the frequency that of Hertzian. Then we have infrared, which is like the sonar that porpoises have. It works through our midbrain. It's our psychic center. It's the future. It's where the future comes. Then we have visible light. Visible light, the narrowest band is the band of duality. That's where we actually became positive and negative, male and female, higher and lower. You can't have light without positive and negative electrical charges. And then beyond light is a spectacular realm called ultraviolet blue. Ultraviolet blue is a completely different frequency component of light. And in fact, light would come after ultraviolet blue was first, and then as we do a process called involution, now you go lower down the scale, you go and join down the staircase, then you hit light. But ultraviolet blue is a frequency, and it's a shortwave frequency that our actual skeletal structure of our nerve cells is actually made of these little web works, and they look like webs, and so Ram teaches them as the concept of blue webs. And in these blue webs are these little filaments that have, when consciousness is processed through them, and I'll talk about consciousness in a moment, ultraviolet blue consciousness is different than visible light consciousness. If there are 7 levels to light, and they're all frequency carries information. So that means there's 7 levels of consciousness as well. But on the ultraviolet blue level, that is called ultraviolet blue consciousness. And it's actually what the structure of our bodies to the skeletal structure of our nerve cells are called carbulules. Carbulules look like webs, and they vibrate according to the conscious stream in them. It's through this network that the caterpillar is able to build a chrysalis and then not dream as a caterpillar anymore, but dream as a butterfly. And upon becoming the butterfly in the dream, the body dissolves into a gel and begins to reform according to the dream. It's the carbulules inside of the cells that allow the structure of mass to dissolve and then be reprogrammed according to the dream, so the body is redesigned. So with that context, and working with what Rampa teaches on how people have grown teeth in the school that had false teeth all their life. They've grown teeth. If cancers have fallen off of their faces. I mean, the stories are endless, and the documentation is there. But it is because they understood what they were doing, and then went through the experience of understanding how to, if what we put in our frontal lobe, like we our thoughts that rest there, become reality. What would happen if you put in your frontal lobe a blue web that you have drawn on your hand or your arm or your face, and you just put that blue web in your frontal lobe, you closed your eyes and you saw that blue web and you focused on it and it began to vibrate, it vibrates that aspect of your body that you're wanting to heal, and in that part of your place, that's where the healing happens. And that's all about consciousness and energy. Then if you go on up the visible light spectrum, on top of visible light is X-ray. It's like X-ray vision. It's like X-ray. It's a shorter wave. From that has variations in it. And then above that, and then that has its own conscious stream. Then above that is gamma. And gamma, short burst gamma, all through the universes, they're happening through your body right now. I mean, you can hardly even detect them. I mean, it takes a great piece of radio equipment to detect a gamma burst, but every gamma burst is carrying information, and as it flows through us to the core of the earth or through the hollow earth and out the other side of it and continues its journey, it passed through our brain, and it passed through our brain like a cell phone signal, and it downloaded its information and then continued, and it passed through 6.5 billion other people and downloaded the information.
Excuse me.
So when you get beyond gamma, it's infinite unknown. I mean, it's beyond. That's the visible light spectrum.
Yeah.
But remember what Rampa taught us, that consciousness is 7 levels, the energy is 7 levels, and that all frequency carries information. And what is the information? Consciousness. What is the processor of that? The human brain.
Yeah. I think we have to switch. I've got that. Okay, we have Creation Healing Light Ship coming on in 15 minutes. It's becoming a little late. We're going to go just a little bit over to finish this incredible interview here. So hang on, and we'll be through shortly. Are you still with us there, Jay-Z?
I am.
Okay.
Did that make any sense to you? It's a lot of knowledge that I'm endeavoring to explain. When people focus on the light, our body is just a portion of that, but we're actually 7 components of the light. Mm-hmm. And the most dynamic part of the visible light spectrum is ultraviolet blue, because it's the frequency that is a part of our entire cellular structure. And if we focus on it, it's the power to dissolve what's there and reform it. Just think of the caterpillar and the butterfly, and then you'll understand the effect of ultraviolet blue healing.
So basically, we're multidimensional beings existing on this vibrational continuum.
Darling.
Follows the light spectrum.
Darling. Multidimensional. No, we're actually, until you step in to the next one, you're just still a 3-dimensional person working with the fourth, which is time. That's it. But you have the capacity to do extraordinary things, but you have the brain that already has the information in there to do it. The continuum is just a word. Just think of it as that we're everlasting, and that when we get it in our heads that we don't have to die, that we don't have to wear out this beautiful body, that we have the processes of regeneration in this body. And if we understand the knowledge and how to do that, we don't have to die, come back with a new brain, forget the other things that are in the past, and have to struggle and muddy through another life. We can just live on. Science will tell you we have an immortal gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the salamander gene that we can activate it at any time once we wake up.
My dear, it's just the immortal gene. And it is getting ready to live every day as a future and not the past every day, to relive an old hurt, to not to forgive, to keep being a victim, to keep suffering in our life, throwing a life away. The day that we put away those things and grow up and become mature and go for the mystery and wonder what we are, the day we have a future, is the day we get well, is the day that everything turns on. It's like the computer.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the main things I get in my meditations over and over again, even with some of the contacts we have here with the off-world visitors, they keep saying the same thing, basically release the past.
Yes.
And that's what we're so stuck, because we're holding on to these old...
Well, but you can't just tell people to release the past.
No, I know. Yeah.
You know, people have to understand, because the past, if you think of it, people when they were 20 years old are not living where they are when they were 20 years old, but they're carrying the same experiences with them. So the past is an abstraction. It's an invisible, but it's very much a part of a neurochemical aspect of who we are. People don't understand that. They don't understand abstracts. They hurt from it. They don't know why they hurt. The day that they say, all right, today I am going to understand that I am carrying the baggage of my past with me, and it's not giving me a future, and it's in my head, and it's in my emotional body, and I can't go through the day searching for my addiction to suffer. I have to create this day and put a pause on emotion and let a new experience happen that I can get new emotion. They're absolutely correct. Because the travesty of all of us 6.5 billion souls is that we are the forgotten gods.
Mm-hmm.
And no one out there, from whatever level, whatever planet, whatever system, from whatever dimension that they travel here, it's not they who have forgotten us. It is we who have forgotten us. We are called, with great sorrow, the forgotten gods. And we truly have forgotten what we're all about.
And I think that's the most important part, is that there are so many people that go off to hear this group or that group or everything, and there's so many distractions out there, and very few people bend it back inward and have people take responsibility for their own personal God connection and their own healing and moving in that direction, which is pretty much what you do there at the ranch.
It's what the RAM teaches. But here's what's important, James. There are very few beings out there that know how to teach people how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not qualified to teach it. They do a lot of ritual. They do a lot of wishing and wanting and a lot of ceremony that really doesn't change the heart of what the hurt is. And only real knowledge begins the process of healing. We know what this abstract is. If we know... We can learn its biology. If we can separate the biology from truly the personal, if we can understand that and then understand the tool that we need to make it possible, people will come alive with it. They are overloaded with spiritual jargon.
Mm-hmm.
They're overloaded with superstition. They're overloaded with fear and religion, and they don't know where to go. They only know that they're hurt. They only know that they're suffering. They only know, they don't know why their life isn't better. It's only when you clear all of that off and say, all right, let's begin to understand you. Now let's talk about who you are, how you got here, why you have this program, and why you're tied into your emotions as you are, and why they undermine you every single day. Knowledge is a light that goes on in our heads. And then if we have the tools to understand, my goodness, I'm living in this little shack inside of my brain that is the cosmos. That if I just got out of that little shack and started to venture into the marvelousness of my own self with new thought and new understanding how to do that, then they're off and going. Everybody's searching for an answer, and it sounds good when they talk about it and they put up their icons, but you know, at the heart of the matter, it doesn't help them. In fact, it causes delusion in a lot of people, and it makes them walk away from the journey because they're not getting answers, because at the end of the day, it didn't help them.
I know a lot of things, you know, that you get all these really complicated hierarchies, you might say, and all these teachings and everything else. And to me, I've always felt that's a distraction from really going inward and making your own personal God connection. And people keep running to these real elaborate programs and trying to find a new identity rather than own the one they have and shift it to where it needs to go.
Yes, but, you know, you're absolutely correct, James, because it is inside of us. It's just the process that people don't know what is inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll listen to a guided meditation, but you know what? That doesn't answer the question. They don't know what it is that they're talking to. They don't understand why they have to say the things that is totally contrary to the dilemma that they're in. And so it's not education. Education is power. Knowledge is power. The next step of learning how to apply that is the miracle. And, you know, learning the basic tenets of that what you are growing up in the future, maturing into the future, and putting away 20 years ago is a process of knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then the application has to have a truth in it. It has to work. If they do everything they've taught, they understand everything that they've heard, and they do, they apply the tools they've been taught very simply, and they do that, they'll see instant results. They can't be argued with, and to their sheer delight, they will have stumbled upon the Philosopher's Stone. They will have found the answer in them and the streams of answers that they now have access to it. The problem is that simple meditation doesn't give you knowledge. What it does is it gives you peace and moment and allows you to guide through a labyrinth of a guided thought, which is lovely. I think they're beautiful, but they still don't answer what you are. And they don't begin the student on learning the answers to what they are and how to apply it. At the school, we say, and Ram has taught us, life is a gift. You made it here from bliss. You were reincarnated. You came back here to own what you hadn't owned before. And what is that? The experiences you created sometime before, that in the experience you got caught up in its emotion and never got its wisdom. And in the emotion, you keep having the same experience, the same emotion, without the pearl of wisdom on the other side. So we own those things which are innate, born with genetic, emotional programming. We go after them. We own them. We put them to rest. Then we're on the journey of our greatest work, make known the unknown. Out of all probabilities, no matter if we lived for forever, we could not exhaust our own innate, singular possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've gone 15 minutes over, so we'll probably have to sign off the air. I'd love to have you back. I know we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here. I'd love to have you back on the show again, whenever, you know, at your convenience, to go deeper into some of this and talk a little bit more about the school and some of the events that you have there.
Well, I would love to come back because I think you're a lovely man. You have the purest heart. And, I mean, I watched you. I look at people, I know everything about them. And I think you're one of those beautiful, genuine beings out there. And I love what you've been doing. I really do. And I think that the people who study with you are quite fortunate. I would love for you to come to Rampa School and go through a class here, because I think it would broaden even more what you suspect and what you've experienced to a broader horizon. And any of your audience, just think of this academy. It's a school. It's not an ashram. It's not a retreat center. It's where you come and you take a beginning class, and then you go out in your life, you apply it, and you come back to your next level or anytime you want to. It's always progressive. And life, because it's a gift, means that we have to go out there and use it and make some kind of wonderful happen.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely have you back on soon, and thank you so much. We're out of time, and it's just been an awesome interview, and we'll definitely do it again soon.
I will, and thank you, all you sweet listeners, and don't forget to create your night tonight and your morning tomorrow, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great evening.
I already have. Bye-bye.
Bye.